has been a couple of days of just busy at home with kids, finishing up soccer and all the other activities going on. It felt like we were going back and forth, all around town. So I'm sure parents, you know exactly what I mean. So good to see everyone here this morning. How many of you were able to tune in on Wednesday and be able to watch the live? Yeah, I saw a lot of you there online. And if you've missed it, you know, you can always go back to our YouTube page. We've got it out there. Let me, Samantha. It was amazing. It was like an interview live style when I was able to talk to a friend of mine from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he was sharing his amazing testimony of how he flipped his story. So I want you to be able to watch it by yourself, and it was incredible to hear from a regular person. You know, when I say a regular person, I mean somebody who's not a pastor, not a preacher, a husband, a dad, and able to share from his point of view how God changed the narrative of his story. And that's, you know, I'll let you guys listen to that. But the podcast itself is available on these platform, and all of them, they are available there. You should be able to just listen to it on any device that you want, any platform that you choose. You should be able to listen to it as well, okay? And today is week number 2 of our series. So I'm making the series in sync with the podcast for a reason, okay? So that way we keep that theme going about flipping your story. The week number 2 is same platform, same foundation, but we're going to take a little bit of an approach where this is where we're going to dive a little bit more into the word, into what it means to flip your story. So it's one thing to talk about, hey, you know, you got to do it. You got to change the narrative of your story from what others are saying for what you are even saying back to what God is saying. But then you got to bring it to the practical level. How? How do we do it? It's good to talk about, hey, you need to do this. But then the question is, well, could you tell us how? Well, what is the first thing I need to do? You know, the basic concept is to change the narrative of what you're hearing from others back to what God himself is saying about you. So sometimes in that process of being able to reroute that narrative back to God, it can look like a battle. And when I'm saying it's a battle, and I'm talking about a battle that is in your mind, a battle that is in your thoughts, because over a period of time you've allowed the voices of others, even your own voice, because you believe a wrong narrative other than what God has said about yourself, and you've repeated that. What others have said, or even what the enemy has said, has become your own voice. So in order to reroute everything that you've learned about yourself, what you've been saying about yourself, back to what God says about you, it takes time. And sometimes that process looks like you're at war. It's an internal war that is going on. So flipping your story starts with a battle. A battle that starts right here in your mind. Okay, so today we're going to talk a little bit about this. The opening scripture is very important. And I want you to catch this. I'm reading it from today's English version for a reason, because it brings it back home to us in a language that you and I, we totally can connect with. It says, be careful how you think. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That you got to be careful on how you are thinking. Because how you are thinking defines your thoughts, your thought patterns that you have. And by allowing those thoughts to come into your mind, it can shape your life. That's what the Word of God is saying. And it is believed that, it's talking about thoughts, it is believed that a human being has about 6,000 thoughts per day. That's a whole lot. Now, if you're talking to Don, you have to double that number. You have to double that number. I mean, you know, man, you know, sometimes we're sitting there and, you know, nothing happening up there. when the wife is asking, what are you thinking about? And you say, nothing. And that's true. There's nothing happening. But with the wife, whenever they are thinking about something, it's not just one thing. There's probably like 6,000 thoughts going on at one time. And they're all meaningful. It's like you got programs that are running in the background. And all of them are important. And for us, the way we think, we're like, okay, shut this one down so we can open up this browser. Okay, you catch the picture there. Shut that one down so we can process things faster. But in their mind, everything is important. Everything needs to be open all at one time. That's the way they process thoughts. So we think about stuff too. Okay, man, we do think about stuff as well. As a matter of fact, God created us, mankind, that way, to be able to think. I believe this is the greatest gift that God has given to mankind, the ability to think. I think this is the greatest gift. We can think for ourselves. So out of those 6,000 thoughts, not all of them are ours. They're just thoughts that we have, but they don't belong to us. They are thoughts that are coming in from others that we actually say, well, I heard about this. I'm going to think about this for a moment. So that's a thought. It was never ours to start with, but it was something that was planted by someone else. And sometimes it's the enemy that plants thoughts in your mind. Would you agree with that? Because you're like, okay, you know what? I'm thinking about something. I should not be thinking about that thing. And guess what? The enemy has a way to be able to plant a thought in your mind. Does that mean it's your thought? No. So, but you can also have thoughts that are godly. God himself has kind of like stepped into the scene of your life and be able to plant a thought inside of your mind. Has that ever happened to you? When you were driving down the road and all of a sudden, God, the Holy Spirit, is making you remember something. Like, hey, you left one of your child back home. And here you are at church. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit has a way of being able to communicate with mankind using any kind of means. And thoughts is one of them. God has a way to be able to speak and communicate with us right here. See, a lot of times we say, well, I heard God. Well, we didn't hear him in an audible, loud voice, but we heard him kind of like we don't even know. Is it here or is it here? But they both are connected. It's the same thing. God has a way to be able to communicate with us. But sometimes when I'm talking about, is this coming from God? Is this me? Is this the enemy? It can be messy up there, kind of like this. I mean, could that describe one of you guys' battlefield that is going on right now as we speak in your mind? You're right here, but you're thinking about, oh no, there's this situation that I'm dealing with. There's this report, there's good report, there's bad report, there's the enemy, there's the voice of others, there's all this stuff. And before you know it, you're dealing with this mess. So when we say flip your story, we don't want to ignore this mess because it's the reality of the world that we live in. We are dealing with this mess. But we got to deal with it in the way that God wants us to deal with it. We can't just say, flip the switch, come to church. Oh, you need this, you need that. You need to talk to somebody about this. All of it could be important. But the bottom line is, how do we handle all this mess? How do we handle this battlefield that we are currently involved in? Maybe you never thought about it that way, that you're involved in a battle, in a war. But in this thought battle that you're here, that you're in, not all of those thoughts are yours. And that is really the bottom line today, is to get you to think about this. Not everything that goes up here belongs up here. Not everything that goes on there is actually yours. It only becomes yours when you take ownership of it. It only becomes your thought, your idea, when you say, you know what, I'm going to hold on to that. And I'm not just going to hold on to that. Now I'm going to act on that thought. We'll talk about this in a little bit more later on. But whatever thought that you allow to dominate your life, your mind, would eventually shape the course of your life, will define your action that you're going to take tomorrow. Thinking about something today would actually define what you're going to do tomorrow. So be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So the way you think today will define who you are today and who you will become tomorrow. It will define today, as you're sitting here listening to this message, it will define whether or not you're like, well, I can get this. Oh, you know what? This is garbage. It can define what you will receive today, but it can also define what you will become after you leave this place. That is the ability of thinking. 10 years from now, you're going to look in the mirror, and the person staring back at you will be shaped by the thoughts that you have right now. Will be shaped by the thoughts that you're thinking right now. Think about that for a moment. You know, that's basically the essence of be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your life is a reflection of how you think. And there is a battle for your life. And that's the very first thing that you need to be aware, that there is a battle for your life. And this battle is outlined in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. See, sometimes it takes a war cry to wake us up. It takes a war cry to make us aware that, you know what, I am not going to jump on this train of thought. This train is going in the wrong area, the wrong place, and I'm not going to jump on that train. It takes a war cry to actually wake us up to the reality of the battlefield that we are facing in our mind on a daily basis. I mean, those 6,000 thoughts that are coming in, sometimes it's like a bombardment of thoughts. It's not just one at a time. It's like everything is being firing all at one time. All these 6,000 thoughts are being processed all at the same time. And it does feel like that sometimes. And that's what the word is saying. He's saying we are human. We are human, and sometimes we forget that very first part. We are human. I can preach on this, those few words there for a series completely, because we forget that. We forget that we are humans. We are not perfect, But we do serve a perfect God. We are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. Wow, that's a different type of battle now. It's not a battle that we're talking about that, hey, you know what, I must fight. I must find that person who said something. I must fight the enemy. I mean, you know, it's fist fight. That's not the war that he's talking about here. Paul is saying, we are humans. Recognize, we are human. But we don't wage war as humans do. It's a different type of war. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. It's not like you got to go and grab a sword, a knife, a gun. It's not that type of war. You don't use those type of weapons. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. There's a good one. How many of you have had arguments right up here? It's like a battle going on. You argue with yourself. You argue with this thing. Oh, you know what? I shouldn't have done it this way. And you go back and forth. It's like a ping pong game going on. That's human reasoning. Say, you reason about different things and you use God's mighty weapon to destroy those false arguments. They were false. They didn't come from you. They came from others or they came from the enemy. They did not come from God. So with God's mighty weapons, you are able to destroy every false argument and destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. See, the ultimate purpose of all these thoughts coming in is so that you will not know God. See, the enemy has a very good way to create a lot of confusion about what is going on up there so that you will not remember who God is. You can get lost up here. You can forget about the goodness of God, and all you can remember is all the bad things that is going on in your life. Could that happen to you guys? It can happen to me. It has happened to me. Where all I can think about is all the things that have gone wrong. But when I do stop all the processes that is going on in my mind, I say, you know what? Hang on a minute. I recognize the battle that I'm in, but I recognize that I'm not at war against anyone. It's not a battle against flesh and blood. But it's a battle that is going on in the spirit realm where the weapons that God wants me to use are not worldly ones, but they are spiritual weapons that will keep those obstacles away from my life. Every arguments that are coming in from the enemy, I'm able to use those weapons to destroy those arguments and to capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. It's like you're harnessing those thoughts, and it's like you have a whip in your hand. Something is not right, whip it. Bring it back to the obedience of Christ. And say, that's not God. Okay. And this is God. So I'm bringing that one in my train of thoughts. It's like you're cleaning up inside. You're cleaning up from the inside out, because whatever you're doing up here will eventually affect your actions. So if you clean up here, guess what's going to be cleansed in the process? The words that comes out of your mouth, your action that will follow. All of that gets cleaned up, starting with a war that is in your mind. So the number one thing is to recognize that you are at war. I hope I make that very clear. It's a war that we have to recognize that we are in. Because if we forget that we are at war, we're not prepared. And that's exactly what the enemy wants, is for us to engage in life with no preparation. Not knowing, I was like, you know what, I can think about anything that I want to. And there's not going to be any consequences to my thoughts. Now, that's a blatant lie from the enemy. So you have to think on the spiritual side that you are at war, and this war is won right between your ears. Right there in your mind is where you win that war. But here's the problem. Like I said, the enemy has deceived us to believe this old lie that the mind is a neutral place. That the mind is a neutral place. Like nothing happening up here. Move along. And that's what the enemy wants you to believe, that there is nothing happening up here, so you can move along and ignore him. If the enemy gets you to believe that, that you can think whatever you want without any consequences, he will use your mind as a playground. As a playground. Because you've allowed him in there, so he's able now to control the way that you think. Because what you think today will shape your life and would lead to action, will cause you not to just have a thought, but now you must act on it. You must do something about whatever you're thinking about. If it is not godly, guess what? The enemy is going to create an opportunity for you to act on whatever is not right. Have you ever been in that situation where you've been thinking about something, but all of a sudden there's an opportunity that it's like, oh my goodness, look at that. The enemy has this way of being able to create this opportunity where you will fall trap to whatever it is. Because your thoughts that you've dwelt upon for a long period of time is now leading to an action. It's like almost an automatic reaction to whatever you've been thinking about. It's like, oh, you must now act on it. If at 2 a.m. in the morning, you wake up and guess what? You're thinking about this big giant slice of German chocolate cake in the fridge. It's been set aside, you know, and you woke up in the morning and you're like, hey, you know what? I've been thinking about this. Hey, that was very good. So, and you keep thinking about it for a period of time. Guess what you're going to do? Some of us are going to be up. Yeah, we're going to be up and we're going to go and try to find that chocolate cake. And it has influenced us to the point where it requires an action. You know, in science, in psychology, they call this a cognitive behavior. Cognitive behavior. You've been thinking about these things for so long that a behavior must follow suit. It has changed the way that you think. It's now leading to action. Understanding cognitive behavior is a powerful scientific tool. It's something that they're using now in science to figure out a lot of the dysfunction that people have in their lives, like, you know, stress, depression, eating disorders. All of these go back to a thought pattern that you've allowed in your life for a period of time, relational challenges. You never thought of yourself worthy to have a friend. And you thought about this for a long period of time. Guess what? You don't want to go out anymore. Because you're like, you know what? I'm not good enough to go out to go have a friend. Not good enough for relationship. So you've excluded yourself from being in an environment where you can be with friends. And before you know it, guess what you are? You are an unfriendly person. Now, guess what? That thought that you had, you are always been, I want to have friends. That's your desire. But you believed the lie for so long that it's caused you to act on that lie. And that lie said, you know what? I can't go out. So guess what? You remove yourself from everyone who would love you and you separate yourself from the love of other people. And by doing so, you could even separate yourself from the love of God. That's exactly what the enemy wants. He's like, it's not just after you being friends with other people. He wants you not to have a relationship with a loving God. That is basically the purpose of it, is to separate you from everybody else so that you neglect a relationship with God. It affects relational challenges, addiction, depression, anxiety. They're all rooted back to your thoughts. Science is now catching up with what God has already revealed to us 3,000 years ago. Imagine that, right? Science is now discovering that, man, if there's a way of a pattern of thinking, it affects the way that people, human beings like you and I, we would react in life. So now science is putting it all together. But God did it first. God did it 3,000 years ago, and he warned us, be careful how you think, because your life would be shaped by the way you think. God already said it. Now we're catching up with it. You know, we used to be back in 2020, they say, you know, follow the science, right? We heard that a lot. I don't know if it's even appropriate to say this here, but that's what we've heard, and we believe that. Follow the science. But guess where that has led us? A lot of times we're like, okay, you know what? The science keeps shifting on us. But what narrative should we follow that will never shift? God's narrative. His word will never change. So the only thing that we can hold on to that will never shift, never change, will trends with culture is the word of God. So whenever we are facing a trouble, a time where we are not making sense of what is happening up here, we go back to the word of God by, number one, realizing that we are at war. It's not a neutral ground anymore. It's not like, hey, nothing happening up here, let's move along. But if we are putting it all together to flip the story back to the narrative of God, to what God is saying about you and me, we got to go back to the word of God, because that narrative will never change. Nothing will ever change about what God has said about you and me. The story is yet to be written. The master, the author, still has the pen in his hands. So we cannot say, you know what, I'm done. Let's call it quits. Because God is not done yet. The story, your story, my story, is yet to be written. There are more chapters. There are more pages to your life. The enemy wants you to retract and say, you know what, you can't handle those thoughts. So remove yourself from others, from society, and eventually you'll remove yourself from God himself. The only one that has the authority to speak into your life. The only one who defines who you are as a human being. The only one who calls you son and daughter. The only one that says, I've got a plan, I've got a purpose for your life. And I've declared that it is good, Jeremiah 29:11. See, the enemy wants you to forget about this narrative that God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. If you believe that, you will succeed, because you will change your storyline back to what God is saying about you. So you got to flip the story back to God, number one, realizing that you are at war and there is a real enemy that is out there. Now, does the word of God give us any kind of insight about this enemy that we talk about? Absolutely. He does. See, God is not trying to make things so obscure that we have to figure it out by ourselves. We have his word that is light to us. So sometimes we just have to go in the room and flip that switch. It's not that hard. It's to flip on the light of the word of God. And this is what God says about this enemy. He says, for we are, in Ephesians 6:12, says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. See, God wants to make sure that you understand that right off the bat, because when we talk about war, guess what? The mind goes, you know, it's somebody who's hurt us. It's flesh and blood. God is saying, you know what, you're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. So basically, it's not your spouse. Okay, that's freedom for some of us today. It's not your spouse. It's not your spouse. It's not your co-worker. The one that annoys you from Monday to Friday. It's not your co-worker. It's not your boss. And it's not your mother-in-law. And guess what? It's not even the people who have hurt you the most. Sometimes it's hard to process that part, right? It's not even the people who've hurt you and your family the most. But it is against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. It's unseen. It's all of these principalities, evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world. Against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So the enemy is very real, but it is not the enemy that we expect to see in flesh and blood. Now, if you ignore him, which that's exactly what his plan, and that's what he wants, is for you to ignore him completely. If you ignore him, he invades your mind. You say, you know what, there's really not, what war are we talking about here? And you ignore the fact that you're at war right up here. He invades your mind with lies. He's the father of lies, right? So what tool is he going to use? He's going to use lies. That God says you're not good enough, for example, you know. You're never going to amount to anything, for example. So-and-so did it bad in your life, in your family. Guess what? It carries on. You're going to carry that gene. It's in you. So before you know it, you believe the lie and you act on it. And you act on it, you think about it, and you think about it. And before you know it, you're a mess. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants to come in with lies, with doubts, with anxiety, with depression. And he plants them as seeds. It's like a little seed. You just put it over there in your mind, and before you know it, this seed has grown. That seed has found a home right up here in your mind. So the question is, what seeds, what thoughts have you allowed in today? Over a period of time, what have you been thinking and allow your mind to be consumed with that were really lies from the enemy? Not rooted, not grounded in his word, what he said about you. Maybe that's a pattern that you've had over a period of time, not realizing that you are at war and there is an enemy out there, and that's the devil himself. If you allow the enemy to plant those seeds in your mind as thoughts, guess what they're going to do? Those thoughts, they're going to create something called a stronghold. A stronghold. And that's the next point, is beware of strongholds. In order to understand and flip your story is to identify and knock down the enemy's stronghold. See, that's how you flip the story. That's how you change it back to the narrative that comes from the Word of God. You identify those strongholds that are in our lives. We identify them and we knock them down. 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, knock down the strongholds of what? Human reasonings. First of all, what are strongholds? In ancient time, a stronghold is a fortress. That was a fortress, a citadel that sits on the highest point on the hill. That's usually where you'll find a fortress. It sits at the highest point. If the city was under attack, the leader would run into that citadel, that fortress, would find refuge in that place, and from that place he would still rule. And he will hide and create a stronghold. In that same manner, the enemy wants to use the highest point in your mind and create this stronghold. From a place where he can actually rule and reign over your life. His ultimate goal is to bring destruction. That's what his goal is to create this stronghold that would eventually cause you to believe his lies. And to be able to have certain human reasonings that contradicts the Word of God. Let me give you a couple of examples of human reasonings. You can never be good enough for God. You can never be good enough for God. That's a lie. That's a lie. Your past, your shame, your guilt can never be forgiven. That's a lie. Those are the strongholds of human reasonings. There are many others. If you believe those lies long enough, in thoughts, it's like you're giving the enemy a blueprint. You're giving him the plan and you say, you know what, act on it. Because you believed it. You believed it for so long. It's like you're handing him a blueprint. And you're telling him, okay, you know what? I'm letting go. You can have control now. Do you think God wants you to do that? Absolutely not. That's not God's plan for your life, is to believe the lie that you can never be good enough for him. That you're not perfect. You will never be good enough for God. Or your past, whatever you've done, you know what? It's too much. You cannot be accepted in the family of God. That's a lie from the enemy. God wants you to use his mighty weapons. And that's my last point. Use God's mighty weapons. He says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. And to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. The dynamite stick that you need in your life to blow up that stronghold is this. It's already inside of you. It's God's mighty weapons. God's mighty weapons. And God has given to us a few. There's a few that God has given to us. They are mighty. They are strong. They are powerful. And here's one. And we did it this morning as we came in. We did it corporately as a church. And that's important, that as a church, we believe in the power of this weapon. The weapon of praise. It doesn't matter if it is live worship or if it is worship right up here as we're doing right now. It doesn't matter if you're driving down the road and you've got a praise and worship music going on. If you're sitting in your living room and you've got praise and worship music going on. It doesn't matter. As long as you're praising Him. As long as you're making the praise the priority. The audience is Him. That's why you can do it anywhere you want. I hope it is not just on Sunday here at church. Although this is a good time to do it corporately. I hope this is a common practice every single day. That you start your day actually with this. In my personal life, this is super important. That's the very first thing that I do when I wake up in the morning. I don't even go and grab my Bible. I grab a cup of coffee. And I go straight down to my office. The very first thing that I do is put worship music on. The very first thing that I do is to worship Him. Praising Him. Because this scripture is so true. Psalm 22 verse 3. He inhabits the what? The praises of His people. That's where God is. You want to walk into the presence of God? We all do. But that's how you do it. You enter in with praise and worship. That's where you get His attention. Praise invites His presence in. Because this battle that you're in, you cannot face it by yourself. You need God's presence right there by your side. And you welcome Him by worshiping Him, by praising His holy name. That's how you do it. So I encourage you every day, praise Him. Find the time to just praise Him. Praise Him. The moment you start praising Him, you change the atmosphere in the room. It's like you're in the workplace and you're about to walk into a difficult meeting. You're about to do a difficult task. But if you set aside 1 minute before you step into that room, before you walk into that meeting, that you've set a little time aside just praising Him. And I'm not talking about you have to go nuts, you have to do all this stuff, you know. I'm talking about just having a little time like, I just worship You, Jesus. I thank You. Just thanking Him. Honoring Him. And then you walk into that place, that meeting. It's like you're the thermostat that changes the temperature of the room. Things line up. Mood changes. It's not like you walked in because it's Almighty You. It's Almighty God in you. His presence. You changes the atmosphere of the place that you walked in. The number two is His Word. That's a mighty weapon. That's your second layer of time with Him. After you praised Him, You've gone nuts with God, and you've gone into your praise and worship mode. Say, you know what? Now I'm going to grab the word. I'm going to open up the Bible. I'm going to use what we talked about at church. I'm going to make that in my little devotion. Or I'm going to have my own private devotion. I'm going to follow the app, Bible app, or whatever it is. Today, there is so much resources that are out there for us. So many of them. It's like you can take your pick on something that you can study. Get into the Word. That will change your thought patterns. That is the greatest discerner of what is going on up here. It's the Word of God. In Hebrews 4:12, he says, "For the Word of God is living." It's not something that was written so long ago. It's so old, it's dead. The Word of God is living, and it is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And the discerner is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So if you want to know if this thought is coming from God or not, use the Word of God. It would slice right there. That's God, that's not. It's a discerner. You will be able to discern whether or not this is coming from God or from the enemy. It's the Word of God. It would tell you what are the roots of those thoughts. Where is that coming from? The Holy Spirit will come and help alongside when you don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that's coming from God or is that me? Is that the enemy? Allow the Holy Spirit to come in. Because you've allowed Him in His presence through praise. Let Him stay with you while you dig into the Word of God. Don't just say, you know what? I've gone through the praise and I don't need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to be your guide, your teacher, when you're opening the Word of God. That's where it starts to make sense. Makes sense because the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher. He's coming along and helping you to discern what is going on. Take the bad ones away from the good ones. That's discerning. And that's what the Word of God is able to do for you and me. And number three is the prayer. The weapon of the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. See, prayer is simply this. It's an invitation to have a chat with God. That's it. It's like you're having a conversation. You say, you know, Lord, I want you to be in on it. I want you to be part of what's going on. It's been many years I've developed this journaling. I journal my thoughts. I journal everything that is going on in my day, in my season that I'm in. To me, this is me allowing the Holy Spirit to be part of the conversation that I'm having with Him. I've got stacks of journals since I've been saved. I've been kind of journaling my journey. At some point in time, I'm going to leave this behind. I hope my children will be able to pick this up and say, you know what? I want to see what Dad was going through during this time of his life. I want to see what was happening. At some point in time, maybe they don't see the value of it now, but maybe they will later on. Maybe my grandchildren would say, you know what? I want to see. I want to see what went on in Kodiak, Alaska. Guess what? Your story is in there. Your story, your life is also part of it. It's a family. We are this family that is united under the blood of Christ. So you're part of my story. You're part of my life because you're my family. And that's important. That's a legacy that's going to be passed on from generation to another generation later on. It's all meaningful. Perhaps we don't see it now, but it is all part of God's plan. There's a reason why you're here today. There's a reason why you're on this island at a certain time in your life, that season. It might be short, it might be long, it might be whatever. But as long as you honor God and you know that He's the author and the finisher of your faith, He's the one who started it, guess what? He who starts it will also bring it to completion. So don't quit on Him before He's done. Don't quit on yourself before the Master is done. So prayer is inviting Him to be part of your life. It's having a conversation with Him, really. And you do that over a cup of coffee. You do this while you're going through life. Let Him be part of what is going on. So I want to invite you to have a chat with Him starting today. And apply it in your life daily. Would you please stand? It doesn't matter if you've been saved for a long time, you grew up in the church, and what we've talked about in terms of flipping your story, it's something that we all go through. It's the reality of the life that we live in, like on this planet. It's knowing that God is on our side. It's understanding that He's good, He's loving, He's merciful, He's gracious. You're never excluded out of the family because of your past. God is a loving and forgiving God. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? I know what He told me. While I'm putting all this together with flipping your story, the message was simple. That song that we played in the very beginning, Let Revival In. This week that has been speaking to me, like loudly. Shake off the dust. I'm not done with you yet. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. That means move along. Keep moving. Because I'm not done yet. Father, we thank You. Thank You for You're so kind and You're so gracious. You're so merciful. That Lord, that You're holding the pen, writing our story, filling in the blanks, making sense out of things that are so confusing in our life, in our family dynamics even. That Lord, that we choose to submit to You in that entire process of flipping the narrative back to You, back to Your word, back to what You've said about us. Lord, we thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Just a couple of announcements. Thank You. God is so good.